That time on a Thursday. Slight delay in the theme. And you can find his work for Comcast Sportsnet online. That was my bad. CSNNW.com. He's talking Ducks and all things on Comcast Channel 737. On Twitter, the handle's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
I'm okay. So you have a difficult thing, and I want to know how you differentiate between the people on Twitter actually trying to challenge you with LeBron over Jordan and the people who are just trying to aggravate you and actually agree with you.
It's tough. Yeah. What I've noticed is that a lot of the younger generation people honestly believe that LeBron's better than Jordan. And I like to debate with them to see where they go with it. And they always end up going down a path and they basically expose the fact that they're 25. They never watched. You know, they started watching the NBA until 2000. And it's just hilarious. Some of the things they say are just so cool. They just basically announce how clueless they are. And, of course, they like to call me old, like I'm 90 or something, in order to attack me. But it's entertaining. You know, I love this stuff.
Actually, I love the guy. I went to your Twitter feed. He had the handle at @Aweezy216, who this was his claim. I've watched film on Jordan.
I've never
seen him do crap that special. So how high up on the list of are you freaking kidding me is that one?
I mean, come on. That to even say that, and I told him you lost all credibility. That's like saying I watched some Michael Jackson videos. He couldn't dance. Or I watched some tape on Joe Montana. He wasn't accurate. Or I watched some tape on Jim Brown. He didn't run with power. I mean, you just basically just told everyone you are a fool. I watched the Mickey Mantle highlights. That guy was one-dimensional. I mean, it's just, what are you saying? You're saying you don't know anything about basketball. There's no way you could possibly say that Michael Jordan never did anything special, especially when the guys you grew up with him, you grew up watching Kobe and LeBron, are basically been imitating Michael Jordan their entire career. So everything you've seen them do, they stole from Michael Jordan. You got me started again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not really sorry. They kind of wanted to get you a little bit. But I get engaged in this as well, whether it's been our text line, Facebook, a little bit on Twitter. So I want to offer this take because LeBron's got a great resume. I mean, we know how many times he's been to the finals, bunch of numbers. But I've come up with a theory that you can't compare accomplishments alone. I think what separates Jordan is the lack of detriments, losses in the finals, willingness to concede big moments. You know, the passes to Paxson and Kerr in 93 and 97, they weren't do-or-die games. They were game six when they were on the lead. So Is that a good element to throw into the debate?
Meaning, exactly.
Well, I'm saying
the difference is that Jordan doesn't have the failures.
Well, yeah, you know, it's not necessarily failures, but in big moments, even though he conceded twice, it wasn't do or die. Last night, they couldn't lose, and LeBron kind of shrunk in the last minute and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I've never begrudged LeBron for giving up the ball to an open shooter. Because I think that if you're double-teamed and you draw the double-team and someone else is wide open who's a good shooter, he's a professional basketball player. I don't have a problem with that. Skip Bayless, he's always ripping on LeBron for that. Early on in his career, I'd be like, that's just dumb. My problem is when LeBron just completely disappears altogether. Okay, the last they didn't score for 3 minutes. Where was LeBron James? How does LeBron James not get to the free throw line? Not just basically will himself to get a basket. How does that not happen? How does with a minute to go, he gives this Kyrie go one-on-one with Steph Curry beyond the three-point line and jack up some fadeaway three-point shot? That's my problem with LeBron. And then it all comes back to me. It's that Dallas series when he completely disappeared against Dallas. So to me, as great as LeBron is, as great as Jordan is, either one of them can do whatever they want to statistically. Okay? But in the last 4 minutes of the game, when the game's on the line, with the championships on the line, game seven, all things created equal, your life is on the line, who do you want? Number one guy, Jordan or LeBron? We've seen Jordan miss. We've seen Jordan have bad games. We've seen Jordan lose. We never saw Jordan just disappear. LeBron James will disappear and defer to other people. And that's just one pass, but the entire last 3 or 4 minutes of games. He's done it several times in his life. That's the difference.
All right. Let's put aside Michael Jordan and move to Kevin Durant. Here's another theory I've concocted. So if you're going to rub people the wrong way, join a super team, bail on your original team, can we at least say if you're going to do it, you might as well win the championship in dominating fashion and be MVP of the finals?
And to me, this is all a pre-gone conclusion as soon as he left to go there. And that's why I'm not impressed. Like, I'm not even close to impressed with this. And as much as I'll rail against Jordan, against LeBron, when it comes going up against Jordan, I'm going to rail against anyone who tried to say Durant's better than LeBron. That was coming out the last couple of days. Durant may be better than LeBron. Look what's happening in the finals. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The only reason why this is happening for Durant in the finals is because he bailed on a contender to join a team that won 73 games. Like, everything's easier for him. He's absolutely wide open all the time because he's on the floor with three other all-stars, including one of the greatest shooters of all time. So everything's easy. They're always ahead. He's a front runner. But last year when he was up 3-1 against Golden State, he failed just like LeBron faced. He disappeared, had bad games in 7 he was decent, 5 and 6 he was awful. So what does he do? He goes and he joins the Warriors. Well, of course they're going to win the title. You know, the winningest team ever adds one of the top three players in the league. How are you not going to win it? That doesn't make him better than LeBron. Here's the thing. Curry beat LeBron only when Irving and Love were out. Next year, LeBron beat Curry. Last year, Curry beat Durant. What happens? Curry and Durant team up. They play LeBron. They beat LeBron. All that tells me is that those two had to team up to beat LeBron. Otherwise, they couldn't beat him. So LeBron remains the best.
Man, when I come to your house, I want you to show me your chart room where you figure all this stuff out. It's going to
it's all simple math and history, and A plus B equals C. I mean, to me, it's obvious, but obviously everyone has their own side.
All right, we're talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast SportsNet. Now, let's move to something that's actually being talked about today, kind of serious. The story Danny Moran of the Oregonian about Oregon State's pitcher Luke Heimlich, who pled guilty to child molestation. Now, without getting into the specifics, because he's hearing about people who are like, well, why are you bringing up this now? And do you have an agenda? Now, as somebody who's actually a journalist and a reporter, people who talk about timing rather than focus on the ugliness of the crime, I guess the whole kill the messenger mentality, does that tick you off?
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's just beyond ignorant. So I worked at the Oregonian for 21 years. So
right.
Back in, I can't remember what year it was, but it was a long time ago, maybe 10, 12, 15 years ago. We did a feature on, I want to say some street vendor or maybe an ice cream truck man or whatever. It's some kind of like a glowing feature on him about, I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something like that.
Right.
And then we found out 2 or 3 days later that the guy was a convicted something. And again, I can't remember what it was. So we always, from that point on, we always had a rule where you're doing a feature on someone, you run their name through a database system, which will pop up anything criminal.
Right.
Right? And that was just so we wouldn't do that again. I mean, how dumb is it like to make you look when you go, oh, my God, this guy's this great business, and it's great. Oh, wait, he's a convicted such and such. Right? So that's what Oregonian just did, and it popped up that this guy had a sexual predator history. Right? And so you're not going to sit on that because of the College World Series. Like, that's just to even suggest that a major newspaper would say, oh, no, we can't run this now. They're getting ready to play in the Super Regionals. It's beyond stupid. Like, that's just like, that person needs to go back to fifth grade and start over because they don't understand how the world works. The Oregonian did what they're supposed to do. They had this story. That's a major story. Oh, my God, a star pitcher for Oregon State was a convicted sex offender? That is automatic news. Instant, get it out as soon as possible. Public's right to know. Every Oregon State fan has the right to know who they're cheering and what he has in his past. I mean, so Oregonian did everything 100% correct into the book, by the book.
No, absolutely. They just announced that even though they know this now, and, they talked about that there's no actual policy about having a student-athlete with a felony, they're allowed to compete. I'm beyond the fact that maybe it's time to change that policy. But right now, the word came down, they're going to start him tomorrow.
Amazing.
Thoughts on that?
I... I remember when Oregon went through this whole thing with the alleged gang rape, and everyone ripped on Oregon for playing those guys. Those guys were never charged with anything, never convicted of anything. So now you have a situation where Oregon State has a player that we all know was charged and convicted. It admitted to something way more heinous in my book than what the Oregon kids were committed of, especially after reading the police report with the Oregon kids situation. So how you justify that, I don't know. At the same time, though, there's a whole question of, okay, he paid his debt to society, so when does his life resume? I mean, that is a legitimate argument. The question, though, is if you're Oregon State, do you really want, like, the optics on it are horrible.
Damaging. Ugh.
It's like, if you're Oregon State, why would you even want that associated with your marquee program? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a catch-22 for them in a lot of ways, but I think at the end of the day, you got to say, whoa, we cannot have a convicted child molester playing for us. No way, no how. That would be my call at the end of the day. That's just me.
All right. Good stuff as always. I would say enjoy the rest of the finals, but there's not going to be much finals left. Have yourself.
Here's the question. I'll tell someone this today. So what happens next? Is LeBron trying to figure out some way to get like Paul George and Chris Paul to town, or does he try to go to a team that has cap space and see if they can lure a couple other superstars? I mean, it's going to be it's basically an arms race now. Who can stack their roster next? And LeBron can't complain about it because he did it in Miami. He basically did it in Cleveland. You know, as a response to Boston. So it all traces back to be for Boston. But that's going to be like, who's going to do what? What's someone going to do to one-up Golden State? I think it's going to ruin the league, my opinion.
Well, it's going to be each year, normally under certain circumstances, there might be a team to chase. But if it's five or six, you don't know how it's going to go. Now it's like, ho-hum, regular season, first round, second round, third round, let's get to the finals.
It's just... And then if it's not balanced, it's not going to be much of a final. I mean, Cleveland has a great basketball team and one of the top five players of all time in my book, and they're about to get swept.
Swept.
Because Golden State has a super team.
Yep. No, that's crazy. So. All right, Mr. Fentress, appreciate your time as always. You have a magnificent weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
Okay, man. Take care.
Take it easy.